Let's start by turning to Galatians chapter 5. And when Dr. Johns said, let's start by turning to Job 38, he said, open to Job 38. And that's what I did. I opened my Bible to Job 38. And I smiled and I showed Grayson. I did what I was told. Usually I open to somewhere in Proverbs, and then I got to remember, is that backward or forward, or, you know, and find my way there, you know. But it reminds me, you know, that's good. It makes you feel kind of good, you know. Like if I had something to do with it, you know, it made me feel good about myself. But it also, there's a downside to that too, because you know that it's going to be going downhill from here. You know, you can't sustain that kind of a thing. It's like one time Grayson and I were shooting hoops on the driveway, and the ball went, you know, hits the bottom of the thing that weights the whole thing, you know, is a big thing. And if the ball hits in the corner of that and goes flying, you got to run after it, and hopefully you get to it before it runs, goes up to the road if it's going that far. Well, Grayson was about 2/3 of the way up toward the road near the mailbox, and he said, Dad, what will you give me if I make it from here? And, you know, there's a dogwood tree in the way, and so you would have to go over top of the dogwood tree and into the basket in order to make it. And I said, $75. I give you $75, you can make it. And he grins at me, and he throws it up. He takes a look, and he throws it up, and it clears. And I'm thinking, no, it can't, it can't. And you can just tell the trajectory of it, and it went in. I'm thinking, oh man, why didn't I say like 75 cents instead of $75? But it's gone downhill since then. He hasn't made another shot like that since then, although he's getting pretty good at basketball. So by now, you're probably at Galatians 5. I've been yakking, and I am not there yet. So it's Pentecost. And, you know, we could talk about first fruits. We often talk about the birth of the new church in Acts chapter 2, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the end of Galatians 5, we can see the fruit of the Spirit compared with the works of the flesh. And I'm not going to read the works of the flesh, which begin in verse 19, but jump right to the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit that was given by God on Pentecost so that the church could have a deposit of the divine nature here and now. We can actually have the power that animates God in us so that we can do spiritual things that as flesh we're not equipped to do. We're equipped to live spiritually by the Spirit, which is given to us as a gift of grace by a God who loves us. It was promised by our Lord, and as Bruce was preaching yesterday, he said, it's a good thing that I leave you, and how is it possibly ever a good thing that Jesus Christ leaves physical presence? Well, he said, I'm giving you the enabler, the comforter, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, which won't come until I leave. And you wait until you're given the Holy Spirit from on high, and that happened on Pentecost. Beautiful orchestration. These holy days are so rich. They're like a prism that you look at from so many different angles, and they're so meaningful, and so much more meaningful this side of Calvary than it was to the original celebrants, the original recipients. And I feel bad sometimes for some of our brothers and sisters who don't identify with the holy days because somehow there's a prejudice that they're Old Testament, or somehow they're inferior, or they're, you know, like a throwback to something negative. They came from the mind of God. They're God's holy days by his design. You know, he hanged the whole plan of salvation on a framework and made these special days that point to things that are not trapped in the past, but promises of the fulfillment of his love for us ultimately. But one of the most loving things that he's done up until this point, besides Jesus Christ coming and giving his life for us, shedding his blood, is giving us a deposit, a down payment, a portion of his divine nature, which Scripture says that we can quench the Spirit, but he gives us the Holy Spirit. When I was thumbing through trying to come up with an idea for what to preach about, because when Bruce asked me if I would preach on Pentecost, I said, oh no, we're going to be at the beach. And I spent a whole week thinking, when I was around my family, who everyone else was not confused and knew exactly when things were happening, somehow I was convinced that we were leaving right after Grayson's graduation. That would have been yesterday if I had been right, but I wasn't right. I was mixed up. And so here I am. And eventually, you know, then I said, Bruce, I'm actually, you know, I was mixed up. I'm actually going to be here, and I'll do whatever you want if you want me to preach. Well, then there comes a time after you volunteer, you got to come up with an idea. And I was thumbing through, you know, just thinking of different possibilities and so forth. And I'm on the subject of baptism and laying on of hands. And I've given messages on baptism and separately on laying on of hands, because sometimes it's like people say, well, what did you eat when you had dinner? And they may imply by that, what did you drink as well, but they always say, what did you have to eat? And it's like baptism. When were you baptized? It's not just when you were baptized, but you also had laying on of hands, which is an important aspect of the whole ceremony. Baptism is the burial of the old man that deals with the part that's going to be done away with, the old man, the flesh. And then the laying on of hands has to do with receiving the Holy Spirit of God and being equipped for spiritual living. We can't function spiritually without the Spirit. So whatever we talk about today, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's not that we just try to be these ways. It's that we have to be aligned with God in such a way that we receive the gift of his Spirit that he gives us, and we don't quench it, and we fan the flame of his Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 of Galatians 5 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there's no law. Now, the fruit of the works of the flesh that are just up above this, there are laws against all that stuff. But you can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit to your heart's content, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's no law against it. It's totally permitted. In fact, it's encouraged. It's a wonderful thing. It says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Not becoming conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to keep that conduit between ourselves and our Maker open so that he can continually give to us that perfect gift that he desires to give to us. Christ said, you know, that what father would, if his child asked for a fish, would give him a stone, or what's the verse? I forget what exactly it is, but you know, a parent wants to give something that's beneficial and positive and nourishing to his child or her child. God wants to give us his Holy Spirit and will give his Holy Spirit to those who ask for it, who recognize the source of it, recognize their need for it, want to put it to good use, and show faithfulness that I'm a good steward of the part of your very nature that you've already given me, and I want to manifest more of you to the world that I'm positioned in, and function spiritually. And you can't function spiritually without God and without his Holy Spirit. So it's not like we set out and try, you know, through our character and our self-discipline to love and have joy and have peace and long suffering and all that. We need to be spiritual. We need to allow God to work through us. We need to recognize the source of it. Well, today's message, I'd like to focus on one of these fruit of God's Spirit. But before that, I want to share something I came across about this listing of the fruit of the Spirit. I thought it was worth repeating. Love is the key. And I don't even know who wrote this or who it's attributed to. I just saw that someone repeated it. Love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. And self-control is love holding the reins. Well, before I tell you which of the fruit of the Spirit I'd like to focus on briefly today, do you have any VDPs in your life? Do you know what a VDP is? Probably not, because I just made it up. Very draining person. Do you have a very draining person in your life? Someone who's just difficult? This is the kind of person who, when you show up with a new haircut, says, "Where did you get that haircut?" And you don't know quite how to take that, or you know, it sounds like maybe they'll intend to avoid that barber. Or, "Oh, you sure look tired today." And you think about that, like, okay, wasn't feeling that tired. I wonder what's wrong with me. And you don't know if it was coming from concern or, "How much weight have you gained, dear?" You're like, their questions or even their presence kind of puts you on edge. Today's message is about a rare and remarkable virtue that is elusive in today's world. When exhibited, it's a balm, a comfort, a safe haven. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit that are included in that category, and so on. Love, joy, peace, and so on. It's in the latter half of that group. Which one am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about gentleness. It's not talked about that much, but yet there it is. It's identified as a fruit of the Spirit of God. It's the result of being planted in good ground and having the nourishment of nutrition and rain, and the very blessing of God come up through the trunk of that spiritual tree. The sap pushes its way out and creates fruit, and the fruit falls off the branches. You don't have to, if you are a tree planted by the side of the living waters, you don't have to try to bear fruit. You just stand there and you're planted in the proper soil, and that sap, which is God's activity, comes up through and the fruit manifests itself and falls off in perfectly ripe form. Now sometimes we get in the way, but you know, one of the more delicious and appealing fruit, I think, of the Spirit of God when we experience it from other people is the fruit of gentleness. You know, and it's so contrary to the way the world usually is. Typically people are gruff, they're sharp. You know, you see this all the time. You see it in traffic all the time. I was trying to get home from New Jersey, and I had to go through Delaware and Maryland because of service calls I had to wrap up before it got any later in the spring. And I was at a certain intersection, and it was one of those awful designs, you know, where you feel like, you know, they should have put the driveway coming out of a sheets or whatever, like way over here, because there's only room for like four cars before the traffic light where they expect you to turn out and get into traffic. And I am sitting there, and I inch a little bit forward. I'm not trying to be obnoxious or whatever, but I need to get out of here, and I've got a rig behind me. I got, it's over 40 feet counting the trailer, the whole rig, close to 50 probably. And I'm turning left, and all these people are trying to get, you know, through the light. But the light's red. And the fifth car in line is going to make it through that light, even if they let me out first and get, you know, they'll be able to get through. And then I could turn left and get on my way, but I can't do that because everybody's like, okay, so the light changes and there I'm still sitting there. And I'm trying to make eye contact with these people, and you know that they know what you're trying to do, and you know that they see you, and they won't look at you. They look like straight ahead, like, if I don't look at you, you're not there, and I can get through this light 3/10 of a second sooner than I would have otherwise, and I don't care if you ever get home or not, or how many days you've been on the road, or how tired you are. I mean, that's kind of like the conversation that doesn't happen, right? And then this woman looked at me, and she backed up a little bit to kind of let me know, I see you, you can go out. And I rolled my window down, and I said, you are the last nice person on the planet. Like, thank you. And she smiled and waved, and it's like, she got it. She's probably been there, experienced, what I was experiencing there for a while, but there's not a lot of kindness. There's not a lot of you first. This gentle spirit, this gentleness that considers other people and isn't like advancing themselves. Well, let's talk about what gentleness is not. It's not weakness. It's not some kind of a milksop mentality where that if a man exhibits it, it's, you know, he's too feminine or something like that. Gentleness is not a lack of strength. Gentleness is a strength that comes from self-control. It's controlled power. It's tactful as opposed to abrasive. It's amiable as opposed to being grouchy or snarly. It's polite as opposed to being rude. It's considerate rather than self-centered. And it's not expressly stated in 1 Corinthians 13, but it pulses through that love chapter. You know, it says God is love. In the Beatitudes, it talks about blessed are the meek. That parallels gentleness, the kind of characteristic that we should be exhibiting if we're exhibiting the nature of God through the Holy Spirit that He's given us as a gift. Think how you feel when you're treated gently as opposed to abrasively or rudely. You know, in the times that I've been dealt with gently, it makes me want to be more that way. It makes me appreciate. I know there were times when I thought I deserved to be brought up short, and the person kind of acknowledges, you know, that, yeah, that could have been better or whatever, but handles it in a smooth kind of a gracious kind of a way. And that inspires you to be more like that, hopefully, with other people. Because a lot of times we're too full of ourselves. We're too ready to set the record straight or to push our chest out or to say, see, told you so, that kind of a thing. Doesn't that just kind of like come naturally to us? Especially if it's somebody that already rubs you the wrong way. One of those very difficult people that I mentioned in the VDP. It's especially unnatural sometimes to be gentle. It's not a natural thing. Our natural tendency is goes in a different direction. And as I said before, to function spiritually, we need God's Spirit. And to get God's Spirit, we should ask for it. We should ask. Scripture tells us we should knock on the door. We should ask. ask God to give us his spirit. Let God know that, hey, I come up short. I need you. I need your help. Please give me your Holy Spirit. I've asked some of you to be my accomplices, and will you get your paper that I handed you ready? And as I call the scripture that is corresponding to the one on the page I handed you, can you stand up and read it for everybody nice and loud? So let's start with Philippians chapter 4, verse 5.
That your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand.
All right, there we go. Yeah, why don't you do it again with this, with the microphone?
Okay. Let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand.
Thank you, Ray. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Dolores?
I, therefore, the prisoner of glory, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling to which you were called, with a lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love.
All right, thank you. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. That's Lori, okay.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
All right, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. She'll bring the mic around for the benefit of the live streamers.
Gentle to all.
Okay. And I think, Sue, you have Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. No? Oh, that's you. Okay, I'm sorry. I got mixed up.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
All right, and then Sue has the last one. Oh, Lori, Sue Johns has the last verse.
He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And gently lead those who are with
John. All right. Well, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 11. And this will be our closing verse. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, which was just read to us. This is Jesus Christ speaking, saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ever get tired? You ever feel like you got more than you can handle? He's telling us to recognize the source of rest, peace. Come to me. I will give you rest. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's one of the main characteristics. He's gentle. And I was thinking about this during Dr. John's message. You know, I always try when I've got a message to, like, God, I need to hear from you today. I need something, not just what I came to say, but I want to mean the words that I sang when I'm singing the hymn. I want to hear the special music. It's an offering to you. I want to hear Dr. John's message and not just be thinking about what I got to say next. But a part of my mind is still, you know, carrying this message, which I got to hold this together and get it out in a few minutes. So there's a certain amount of energy that's in reserve, you know, thinking about that, and you're still trying to keep the rest of your mind open to getting a blessing from the service. And he was talking about the power of God And, you know, the same power that shakes mountains and stops the mouths of lions and created the universe empowers us to be gentle. You know, you think of gentleness and power sometimes as juxtaposed, like they're different things. No. The power of God that shook Mount Sinai is the same on Pentecost, we think, right? Yeah? That's the same power that enables us and equips us to be gentle. Cool, isn't it? That just kind of dawned on me while he was thinking of that. Well, I'd like to share a story with you. I don't know, it's one of these things when you don't know if it's just a story that someone thought of or if it's based on something that happened, but let's call it the story of Jack and Stacy and Kyla. It wasn't named. The story wasn't. There was no title on the story when I read it. But Jack was an older man who was on a red-eye flight from Los Angeles to Chicago. And there was a young woman, scarcely beyond her teens if she was, a few rows back with a baby, maybe 3 months old at the most, and this baby was crying inconsolably. Well, it was a red eye, so people are tired, they've had a long day, they're standing on their feet at the airport, standing in lines, finally they're sitting down, and they just want the place to be quiet and get some sleep before they have to wake up in 3.5 hours or whatever in Chicago. And people start sighing and grumbling because this baby won't stop crying. "Can't you shut up that kid?" somebody says. And then someone else is muttering that a kid that age shouldn't have a kid. And people start moving forward to vacant seats, all huffy and irritable. Whether just exhausted or somehow this Jack, this is from the point of view of Jack, you know, he's up front, he's thinking, "Oh, I too want to sleep. I'm so tired," but he starts feeling bad because of the meanness of these other passengers. And when he was thinking about moving forward further away from the source of this annoyance, he decided instead to go back and take one of the now empty seats near where this young lady was with this crying baby. And so he sat down and he said, "Hello, dear. I'm not sure I can help, but if I can, let me know how." And soon this baby started settling down. Maybe it was just exhausted from, you know, the crying or whatever, but as the baby quieted somewhat, Jack asked this young lady, whose name is Stacy, "Is this your daughter?" And Stacy said, "No, this is my niece. This is Kyla." And he said, "Oh," and he was kind of confused why this young lady would be taking a red eye with her niece. And then Stacy started feeling trusting of this guy, and she had been very guarded because she was tired as well, and everybody had been so nasty to her. But then she started to divulge the situation. Her sister and brother-in-law, along with her parents, had recently been killed in a horrible automobile accident just a few days prior. And miraculously, Kyla, who was also in the car, was uninjured. And Stacy had planned to fly home soon to be with her older sister and to meet her new niece when she got the news of the accident. And it would turn out that Kyla would soon be sent to a foster home unless a family member would come and take her. None of the other passengers took the time to find out what was going on. They just assumed she was a young single mother, shouldn't be having a baby that age. And with tears streaming down his wrinkled cheeks, Jack asked, "May I pray for you, Stacy?" So he proceeded to pray for Stacy and Kyla, who would never know her mother. And finally, at the end of the prayer, Stacy took his hand and looked up at him with tears running down her cheeks, and she thanked him. And he said to her, "You know, Kyla will never remember her mother, Stacy. It looks like you're going to be her mother now." And Stacy looked through the tears that were streaming down her cheeks to match his, that were now dripping off his jaw and his chin. And she said, "What's your name, sir?" And he said, "My name's Jack." And she said, "Well, Jack, Kyla's not going to remember her grandpa either. She's going to need a grandpa too." So who knows if it's a true story or not, but it's an example of a person in the world with all the abrasiveness and impatience and lack of tolerance who was moved to show some tenderness. Ended up finding out a thing or two that he didn't know and didn't expect. And who knows, you know, what the future would be of this. But God has told us to not quench the Spirit. And when he gave us his Holy Spirit with the same power that made Mount Sinai shake and made the world come into existence, he also gave us the capacity to be gentle with that very same power. And that's part of the way we ought to be. We are to be like Jesus is. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."